Have you heard of Ananabox? This is such a great idea. Joining us right now, the CEO of Ananabox, Mark Preston. Mark, thanks for joining us here.
Happy to be here. Excited.
This I remember, was a Kickstarter, right?
This was a Kickstarter campaign.
Which one was the original Ananabox?
The original up here, although it didn't have the packaging or anything like that.
Just what was the idea?
So the idea was came up with by August Jamar, who is the founder. And it was just an easy plug-and-play Tor-embedded router solution to just get on Tor immediately with nothing to configure or download.
So you'd go through this box. It would put you on a Tor network.
Yes, sir.
You've gone a lot way since then, right?
Yeah,
you now do VPN, right?
Correct. So the Pro model there on the end has both the Tor and a VPN solution built into it or embedded.
And it works with Wi-Fi or Ethernet or a combination of those.
Correct. Right? And you can also uplink to Wi-Fi via public settings, Starbucks, et cetera.
Yeah, that's nice. In fact, I recommend a solution like this. We talked about Tiny Hardware Firewall a few episodes ago because it's the safest way to go on an open Wi-Fi access point. You have a nice advantage because you can use OpenVPN so somebody can run their own VPN server, and you get to choose which server you work with.
Yeah, so we recently partnered with Hide My Ass, HMA, and then there's numerous other VPN providers. Yes,
yeah.
You can choose from those. We have 30-day free trials where you can choose from the different ones, exactly. And then also with the OpenVPN. Now that service, one caveat to that, the VPN-enabled routers would be your Tunneler and your Pro there.
Right.
And these other two on
those are just plug-and-play for Tor.
This one is plug-and-play Tor. This one is Tor with an admin interface.
That's nice. So you can choose your exit point.
You can exit nodes, anything you want. Yeah.
Okay. This is a great idea. And it's doing well?
It's doing good. So we were on Kickstarter. That ended up falling over to Indiegogo.
Something was wrong with the...
Yeah, there's a whole background there for two more shows if we wanted to get into that.
We weren't... You know what? They wouldn't let us use Kickstarter to build this studio, so we said, oh, screw it. We'll just do it ourselves.
But yeah, things have been going great.
Good.
You know, we actually... August worked for me, was hired prior to me even knowing what Ananabox was. And we found out in January, ended up acquiring the company under our main corporate title, which is Social Inc., S-O-C-H-U-L-E. Ended up acquiring it and then rolled it into our as one of our subsidiaries and been really addressing all the IT community's concerns, whether legitimate, illegitimate, you know, weeding out the bad and the good. And
so you focus on security, hardware security solutions mostly?
We're focusing a lot on privacy and anonymity.
Yeah. Good. I love it. Well, I love this. You've created a Indiegogo campaign to help one of my favorite people, Cap'n Crunch.
Yes, sir.
Write his autobiography. How'd you get that idea?
Actually, August and the captain came up with that one. So that was to raise money there on Indiegogo. Well, it looks like we're up about
24,000.
How many days do we have left?
We have a month.
We have a month left. I think we're going to do fine.
Run on over there. search Indiegogo for Ananabox. You'll find it pretty quickly. And I love some of the perks, including this whistle, which is hysterical. Now, John Draper is called Cap'n Crunch because he was the first to discover that the little whistle in a Cap'n Crunch box, if you blew on it just right, would produce a tone, this is annoying, hold on, of 2,600 hertz. You're actually offering as a perk a 2,600 hertz whistle, plus it's got a 8 gigabyte USB.
Yep.
Now that's something John didn't dream about back in those days. Wow. This is so cool. How much, what's the level for that?
I think you can get that in one of the first two packages there.
That's nice.
89.
That's nice. There's a picture of
Cap'n
Crunch. You know what? John's on the line with us. Cap'n Crunch, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
I haven't talked to you in ages. I know you had some health problems. You're feeling good?
Yeah, actually I am. I'm feeling a lot better now. I'm still having to deal with a lot of pain, and I've got a couple more medical procedures that I'm looking forward to help eliminate that. But I'm getting better now.
It's endless, but I'm glad you're feeling better, and I am thrilled. We did a couple of triangulations with John Draper, trying to learn the story of the Crunch Man, but nothing like an autobiography.
As of late, I've been like going around the world giving lectures on computer security and privacy.
Good.
And I'm going to be publishing another article in Go Freak Media sometime next week for all of the secure private apps like Signal and Wicker, all those.
Oh, good.
And I get really down and dirty. I get really, really detailed about how it all works and stuff. So look forward to that.
So you're still very much a part of this security scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I made a resolution on the 1st of January now to no longer communicate with all my friends using anything like a normal POTS, plain old telephone system, or even, you know, Skype, or even all the others, because there's a bunch of really good apps out now, and I'm moved over to them now.
What messenger? What messenger's app do you recommend?
Signal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Open Whisper Systems. It's free. It's open source. Free to use. Free to download. And the source is even on GitHub. So it is by far the most recommended app you can get.
And unlike say something like Telegram,
it was recommended by Edward Snowden. Of course.
That helps. That helps. Here's a guy who knows a little bit about what threats are out there. That's great. So have you started writing the autobiography?
Oh, absolutely. I'm about maybe 60% done right now.
Wow.
Actually, I was in the middle of writing it when you called me. So,
what's that experience like for you, reliving those memories?
Well, the way I do it is I listen to the music of the era where all of this stuff was, because then I hear a song in my head and I say, oh, I know what I was doing when I heard that song first come out.
Wow.
And that's how I remember.
What a great technique. Well, like what song triggered some big memories for you?
Oh, some of the stuff. Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah.
Back in the mid-80s, I think.
So when you hear the Jefferson Airplane, one side makes you taller and one side makes you small, does it...
Yeah, it brings memories back in my brain of what I was doing at that day. So I just go through... YouTube, and I'll watch it.
There's a little Flock of Seagulls.
I'll listen to a song. I say, yeah, okay, I remember what I was doing at that day. And then, yeah, I was doing this, I was doing that. So it definitely makes it a lot easier for me to remember things.
I think the perfect part of this is that if your autobiography, or when your autobiography is turned into a biopic, we already have the soundtrack now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe bundle a CD in the back of the book.
I'm trying to get my business partner, Matthew McIntosh, to take all of those old cassette tapes that I recorded back in the days of Captain Software, and so put them on an MP3 so that I can watch it, so I can listen to it on my iPhone when I'm actually working on the book. So.
Oh, that's fantastic, John. Awesome. I'm so pleased to hear that you're doing this, and I'm really thrilled that Ananobox, I almost called it Ananobox.
Yeah.
Remember Ananobox? Ananobox is supporting this, because I think these perks make it really... Don't you love this blue
whistle? I also want to make sure that they're also, and most importantly, they're also supporting the Tor community.
Yes.
Because when I went to Germany this June, I got a chance to go to the Tor Developer Conference. And this was during the fiasco with Kickstarter that they had. And it took a while for me to break the ice. I mean, I talked to Jake and I talked to all those Tor developer people. And I reassured them after talking to August, that a lot of the profits, a fair amount of profits, will be put into the Tor community. And that's nice. Really important.
Nice. Absolutely.
And there's a button on there for a perk to donate, I think, as well.
To Tor. That's the Tor project.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those guys at Tor are doing a great job. And, although they seemed a little bit unorganized at the developer conference, but the second and third day they had there was pretty good. They broke off into separate breakout sessions, and they had quite a good discussions on what they're going to do next and all that stuff.
What was the name of that word processor that you wrote? Was it electric pencil?
Easy Writer.
You wrote it in Forth, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
Can you still code in Forth? You still got Forth in there?
I hardly code in Forth. In fact, I'm trying to remember who did Mac Forth back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Mac Forth was awesome.
I'm writing about that particular portion right now, actually. And just racking my brain trying to figure out. I think it's Don Colburn, I think. But I don't know what company he had at that time. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I know. Oh, yes. It'll come back to me.
What was the name of that company?
Come back to me, yes.
Yeah.
Because I was a very happy owner of Mac Forth. That was a nice package.
The only problem with it was that I couldn't develop standalone software because I had to pay a royalty, and the royalty amount he was asking for was far above and beyond what I could afford.
Right.
And so you couldn't make a standalone product. You had to actually use Mac, had to have you actually had to have MacForth, which costs quite a bit of money,
right,
to actually run your programs. And it's like you're getting a C compiler and then paying Kernighan Ritchie a royalty for every program you compile. That's not fair.
I seem to remember you hand wrote the code on a piece of paper. You weren't writing it on a computer. You would write it during the day on pieces of paper, right?
No, toward the end of the day, Waz gave me the access to a QM printer to use, and I printed it out on a QM printer, the whole source code, and put it in a binder and took it back to the Alameda County Work Furlough Program where I was at. And then after eating dinner, I would go back into my room and sit down with the code in front of me, and I would sit there and point a pencil at the paper as if I knew what I was doing.
Well, you did. You did. Easy Writer was one of the very first word processing programs in a classic.
Yeah, it was an ideal programming environment. It was really good.
I had off
computer time, and it gave me time to think, gave me time to work out what was on the stack after each fourth call and stuff like that. So it worked out really well, actually.
That's clever. John, it's great to talk to you. I want to thank you, Mark, for joining us.
And thanks
for having
us.
Everybody to the Indiegogo. If they search for a Nanobox.
Oh, one more thing I want to add.
Sure, John.
Kind of important. Mm-hmm. I would like to tell you that the title of my book is called Inside the Little Blue Box.
Beyond the Little Blue Box.
And cool. There is beyondthelittlebluebox.com website, and there's also a Beyond the Little Blue Box Facebook page. So you go up there and visit that and give me some feedback, and I'd love to hear from you.
And this blue box is one of the perks, right, on the Indiegogo. This is one of the Inanna boxes in a unique blue, shade of blue.
Specialty blue with whistle.
And, of course, the blue boxes were the early phone hacking devices that you taught Waz to make. And Waz and Jobs got their start, their first business, before this thing, Apple thing, came along, selling blue boxes to college kids.
Back in the days when AT&T screwed up and made a serious flaw in their network and allowed signaling to be on the same wire pair that you talk on.
This doesn't still work, does it?
No.
So it's completely safe to sell these.
Yes, it is completely safe.
Hey, it's so great to talk to you, John. Thank you. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks a lot, Leo. And you should have me on again. I've got a whole lot of things that I could say about it.
I think we should. Karsten, make it so. We've done two episodes. We need to do a third with Captain Crunch.
Yeah, please contact me because I have a lot to say about how you can protect your privacy using smartphones.
I love that.
There's a way to do it. There is a way to keep off their radar. And you should definitely consider having me on again. I got a lot to say about that.
I love that. BeyondTheLittleBlueBox.com for more information. And, of course, Indiegogo to help out. There's John, the young and
handsome. That's what the book cover looks like, by the way.
I love that. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, thanks to Craig Wilson, often known by Craig Ubek, and he is currently right now in southern Spain. I had a chance to visit him in southern Spain this summer and work with him for about 5 days on the book. And there is me and Craig at a cafe there. This was in southern Spain, and this is where I was working with him on the book.
Very nice.
We'd walk along the beach or walk along in the resort, and he'd ask me questions, and I'd answer them, and then I'd record what I gave back and gave him recordings and stuff, and he put it into a really story. He's a great writer, although he's had no experience writing a book. I chose him only because he's lived with me for almost 2 decades.
Well, he knows you then pretty well.
He knows me very well.
John, it's great to talk to you, and I'm glad that these memories are getting saved forever, because this is a very important part of the early days.
More importantly, getting some donations out there for him to help support it.
So. Really glad to do that. And thank you, Mark.
Thanks a lot, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Take care, Captain Crunch.